At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Dallas, people, you're stupid.
It's John and Lance.
That's stupid as crap. Dumb, dumb, dumb.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Texas Card House. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hi, welcome back. Live from Texas Card House in spring. Want to come on by? You can win a couple of tickets to the Astros. Come on. Hang out with us here. Play a little poker this morning. I'll be in at the game at 10 o'clock as soon as I'm done here. But right now, we got another hour to go at Josh Pate, the Josh Pate College Football Show on YouTube. Josh Pate on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by Walmart. The Walmart you thought you knew is now new. Who knew? Walmart. Josh, I want to thank you. You made me a little bit of money. I was watching your preview of the Baylor-Auburn game, and you talked about the Baylor defensive line being smallish. And so then Auburn proceeded to run for 307 on them and, you know, and won that one easily. So I want to thank you for a little cash in my pocket. That's the first thing I wanted to do.
Well, you are welcome. You know that I'm here for you anytime I can be here for you. I took a little heat from the Baylor folks. What I tried to say was, I think the game will play with Baylor being a little undersized. Like, that's the way it'll play. I wasn't literally trying to go height, weight across the board. It's not like Baylor's guys are 230. I thought it would play out that way, and it did play out that way, but people got really, really into the semantics game in the comment section. So this means more than you could ever know.
Well, okay,
fans get a little worked up sometimes.
So to that point about people, about the vitriol, we had a caller, an LSU caller this morning, as a matter of fact, and I don't know if we can play it for you because he got a little personal.
AJ, he cut it for us. We've got it.
He did.
Josh's a big boy. He deals with college football fans on a regular basis. They're the worst fans.
They're terrible people. But
some are.
And especially, this was a former intern of ours, as a matter of fact, who went to LSU, and he's none too pleased with you. So, AJ, you got it. Let's play this for Josh Pate and his reaction to Captain Chompers.
That salty ass defense we saw Saturday night, not to mention a projected first round quarterback and nuts. Secondly, and more importantly, he better walk back his Bama winning the SEC prediction. Everyone knew DeBoer wasn't the guy, and they were in for a bad year. What forced him to actually take itself was his reasoning. I recall him saying his reasoning. He went to an Alabama practice, and that was the most physical Bama practice he'd ever seen. I find that hard to believe based on the product he saw Saturday. His Bama pick was soft as hell. It was only based on him sucking the Bama hole like he's always done. Keep sucking that hole, Pate. Keep sucking that hole.
Wow. Okay, hey, first of all.
God bless. There's LSU fan making an appearance.
Former intern or current intern?
Former. Long time ago.
Former. What does he do now?
I don't know what Captain Chompers does. What, do you?
He's in the financial world, I think. I'm pretty sure.
Is he?
Financial world, like as in he needs money or he deals with other people's money. So let me ask you this, Lance. You've got fairly good ties to Alabama. What kind of feedback had you gotten? Keep it generic, but what kind of feedback had you gotten about the nature of Alabama practices over the course of August?
No, it had been going really well. You know, the practices have heard that they've been very spirited. Which made it surprising because the Joe Moore Award, we've got a string, a tech string of, it's Golic and Jeff Schwartz and Aaron Taylor, Cole Kubelik, me. I think that's the primary group. And they must have cut up six cuts of Alabama getting just dog whipped. It's unbelievable. I couldn't believe how out physical they got. And I had heard some really good things about, how the practices have gone. What you heard is what I heard. What I saw on the field, though, is not what I expected to see from any Alabama team.
Yeah, it was tough. So here's what former interns, turned financial whatevers, never have to do. I got to show up when I'm wrong. I don't get to hide in the hole until Wednesday. So, yeah, man, I was dead wrong about my expectation for week one. The early returns would indicate I may have been dead wrong just about the nature of the team I thought Alabama had. But I don't take back a word of what I said about what I saw when I went and watched them scrimmage a couple of times. I know I saw what I saw. Also, I mean, when you go to an Alabama scrimmage, as you know, you're not standing there by yourself. There's NFL scouts everywhere. They got former coaches, and you would be shocked at who's standing on those sidelines. So you're standing there with a bunch of really, really sharp football-minded people. Everyone's in unison. Wow, this feels like a Nick Saban practice. Wow, they're getting after it. It's war out here. So, yeah, to see that play out on Saturday in Tallahassee was mind-boggling to the point where it's Thursday now. We're almost a week removed. I still really can't explain it. But, yeah, what else? As for the LSU part, so the LSU part, they had a big win on the road. I think every turn, even when I talk to you guys, I always try and say in the preseason, I'm speaking in pencil here, which is a metaphor for, yeah, I've got an opinion on stuff. It's not worth a whole lot. You guys have heard me say that over and over again. It's just better than saying, all right, I don't know what's going to happen. Let's watch together. That doesn't make for good preview content. But at every turn, there's an acknowledgement with LSU, for example. I may be a little bit hesitant on them because I need to see the offensive line. I need to see that defensive backfield gel. I need to see the offensive balance. I need to see the ground game, you know, the things we didn't see last year. Early results, good. Passed it with flying colors, okay? So now what you do is you buy in a little bit more on LSU because it would be stupid not to. Having said that, let's make sure the consistency and performance is there. Mm-hmm. Just like with Bama. Let's make sure before we completely sell them down the river, they actually are terrible. You know, after 1 week in college football, history has taught us since the day I started watching this sport that you really need to observe week one more than make sweeping conclusions after week one. Now, look, I'm just a guy who hosts a YouTube show. I'm nowhere near the expert he is, but that's my stance on it.
So, look,
first of all, if your meemaw doesn't say it, I don't write it in with pen. I'm only going pencil. If you say something, but it's not coming from your meemaw, then honestly, Josh, I can only just take that with a grain of salt.
So what's the overreaction that we should have to Arch this week?
Well,
Josh?
Is it an overreaction, or what's a legitimate reaction we should have?
Yeah, where should we be? I mean, listen, Paul Feinbaum has to be feel. I mean, I was going to put it out. You know, somebody check on Feinbaum because this is really, really bad for him. But where are we? He faced Matt Patricia. I mean, he faced the national champs, first real big game that he's been in. He was bad. There's no question about it.
He didn't play
but
well.
But is he that bad, or is he going to – how much better is he going to be? Somewhere between Saturday and the Heisman, for sure.
Yeah, this is great. Somewhere between terrible and the Heisman. All right, I agree with you. I do think he lands somewhere on that spectrum. I love that nature. So to go back to our caller there, see, this is where you get no credit. Because you guys know you brought me on this show twice. We talked about Arch. We talked about Texas. And I gave you a really boring answer. And my answer when you asked me how good is he going to be is, I thought he'd be a pretty good quarterback. That's the level I thought he'd play at, pretty good to really good. Never thought he was going to be elite, never thought Heisman favored or anything like that, which I thought was fair. And all things considered, that's probably still where everyone is now coming back to. No one's talking Heisman with him anymore. No one's talking elite. My reaction is kind of, I did think Texas would win the game. Like, I slightly leaned them to win the game. So I definitely thought I'd get more from him than we got. I don't know how you could get less from him than we got. But I wasn't shocked at all at the performance. I mean, that wasn't jarring to me. It didn't change my worldview. I didn't need to rethink life. Like, the Bama game made me do all that. Arch Manning's performance didn't make me do that. So now, from this point forward, my mind just goes to, he's got to go into Gainesville in a few weeks. He's got to face OU and Norman in a few weeks. He's got to go to Georgia eventually. I'm going to see him on the road. I'm going to see him away from home or outright on the road several more times. against opponents that are comparable to Ohio State at the very least. And so they better get it figured out. The one thing standing on the sidelines for that game that stood out to me is Texas doesn't have the same caliber speed at receiver that they did last year, I don't think. Still good, but I don't think they have separation potential like they had. And that really stood out when I went back and watched the replay, because you stand there, Arch had time. He's got time on the field. Normally when a guy has time and he's holding the ball or you're still not doing a lot in the passing game, you go back and watch all 22, and it ends up that, oh, there were guys open all over the place. He just didn't pull the trigger. Well, in this case, I'm not saying there was never a guy open here and there, but Ohio State secondary largely had those guys blanketed. And so that, to me, as much as the talking point centers around Arch, that in the totality of the passing game is what I'm paying attention to more so than anything moving forward, of scheming guys open, getting guys open, so that even if they're giving him time, he's got windows to throw into. Now, at that point, he's got to be way more accurate. He's got to be way more decisive. All of these things have to work in conjunction for the passing game to hum. But I think everyone's paying attention to Arch right now. And while that's justified, there are some other aspects of that offense that maybe mildly concerned me the other day.
I think Sark really, boy, if he could do it all over again, he goes in with a totally different game plan. I mean, you know, you had to go in having Arch use his legs. You're asking him to make his first, you know, big-time start on the road, talented team. You know Arch needs to be a run-pass quarterback. There's just no to me, he should be getting 8 to 10 carries every single game. And I thought that was just a poor job by Sark to, you know, to allow him to get some easy yards with his legs, get him into the game a little bit. I didn't like that. I think Sark was, you know, in the second half, that first drive of the second half, Josh, I thought he called a great first drive.
Yeah,
looked like
he
had made some until he got
no
to the 10-yard line.
Yeah, and then he went to the huddle.
He went to the huddle. His play, he thought he was just going to out-execute and get downhill on you. And instead, you know, he didn't have any defense beaters dialed up, meaning, you know, plays that are specifically designed to create wins through misdirection or whatever. He just thought he was just going to call standard plays and go beat Ohio State, and that just didn't happen inside the 10-yard line.
No, it was bad.
2 years in a row, by the way, 2 games in a row against Ohio State, that's happened.
Hey, let me ask you this, because I've asked this about a few teams, Arch included, Texas included. How much do you think coaches are surprised by the results they get in week one? Because in your Xbox fantasy world mind that sometimes we tend to live in, you think the coaches know everything they could possibly know, and the audience is just delayed in finding it out when it's put on the field on Saturdays. Of course, that's not reality. There are varying degrees of surprise. I'm sure Kalen DeBoer was very surprised with what he did or didn't get from Alabama the other day. I wonder how surprised that Texas offensive staff was at what Arch was or wasn't able to do. And
that's
then
really
go back to the game plan,
question.
How much do they regret that, all that stuff. I always wonder about that.
That's a really interesting question, because you know what? The real honest truth is sometimes the coaches know what they're about to get and the fans don't know. And Arch Manning is the same. You know, Steve Spurrier pointed this out. Arch is the same guy that they didn't go to last year when they were inside the red zone against Ohio State. He didn't go to him when Quinn Ewers had an oblique issue the entire year, basically, and wasn't playing very good football. He didn't go to him. He played, you know, it was a very conservative approach and conservative game plan for Arch Manning. I think Sark knows that there are some limitations on Arch as a passer. There's no way he doesn't. And I think there are some limitations. And we saw I thought we had disappointing ball placement, disappointing timing, things that you want to see a good pocket passer do, or even an average pocket passer do. Certainly a guy who's a first-round quarterback has got to throw with better timing and better ball placement. I mean, that throw behind the receiver on that fourth down late in the game, my gosh, that is a throw you have to make 10 out of 10 times, and he missed badly.
Yep. All right, let's talk about this week, Josh. Not nearly as interesting as week one. What are some of your thoughts on some of the games that are coming up this weekend?
I mean, it's not interesting as week one. I'm choosing to go to 2 games instead of 1 this week, though. So I love this week. That, you know what? I'm halfway trying to sell you on this week. I admit that. But Iowa State, I am looking at how insane it is, by the way, that both of those teams who played in week zero, Kansas State and Iowa State, that means in a two-bye week year for everyone, they have three bye weeks. And yet neither of them chose to take a bye after the Dublin game. So Iowa State's playing the third game this weekend against Iowa. That one's going to be fun. I'm going to go to that one at 11 a.m. I am very interested with that transfer quarterback that Iowa got, because one of the funniest quotes I saw this week was everyone thought Martin Gronowski was going to happen to Iowa, and instead, after 1 week, the saying is Iowa has happened to Mark Gronowski. The guy had 44 passing yards last week. And so I don't know if it's just the same old Iowa or not, but I'm looking forward to that one. And then I'm going to go down to Norman for Michigan-Oklahoma that night. Buddy, that one right there, as much as the quarterbacks will be talked about, that could be a game a few years from now that you're telling stories about. Like, hey, man, remember in week two of that 2025 season when it was Bryce Underwood and John Mateer on the same field, and we didn't really know what we had at that point? It could be that way. I'm looking forward to that one. I think there's a lot that Oklahoma still has to prove, and I'm high on them. I'm really high on them. But that ground game left a lot to be desired last week. That offensive line had, I think, two or three guys out. They didn't start the Jaden Ott kid, the transfer from Cal at tailback last week. Is he going to play this week? Can they force Bryce Underwood to beat him? And if they do, can Bryce Underwood beat him? I don't trust his wide receiver talent, but I also think that that guy's got sky-high potential. Could that work against him? Does he overinflate his sense of ability after looking good against New Mexico and go in and throw the game away against the Brent Venables defense? I think quarterback mistakes, actually, are going to decide that game. Because you've got two guys. Yeah. Well, both of those quarterbacks have tons of potential, and they're also leveling up big time in terms of competition level. And it's just disproportionately the kind of spot where someone goes minus two turnovers at critical points and they lose the game because of it.
That's a good linebacking core at Oklahoma. Good defensive front. Oklahoma had both tackles were out, one with a concussion, one with an issue that they held him out because he had a heat issue in practice. And so you have two brand-new tackles. So it's our first game of the year going against Michigan. That's going to be tough. This could be a lower-scoring game because I think Bryce Underwood, I think that's going to be a heavy lift against Oklahoma's defense here, their front seven. So, but by the same token, you know, we'll see what that offensive line for Oklahoma, who was disappointing last year. Two new tackles, who are the starters, by the way. They were missing last week, as you mentioned, going up against a Michigan defense. This one, first one to 20 is probably the winner in this one.
Well, it's two.
You think so?
Yeah, I think the fronts are going to really cause some problems for the offensive lines a little bit.
I just got a little bit of question about linebacker secondary on some of these teams, specifically speed versus speed with the tight end wide receiver corps. I took a little flyer on over 45.5 here.
Okay.
So you and I are head-to-head this weekend, and you know how rarely this happens. You and I are head-to-head on a total of all things.
I know, of all things, a total. But I started off in the handicapping business. I had a handicapping business, as John knows. That's how I got started. But I don't spend as much time with it, but obviously anymore. But I was looking at this for the Joe Moore Award video that's coming out. We looked at Michigan and Oklahoma, and the deeper I got into it, because I don't get into it as deep as you do on college football until, you know, it's really draft central for me. But I really dug in on this one. And, you know, what's hard for me now, Josh, in analyzing college football is the amount of new starters and transfer portal guys that – it's just – I have never in my life seen anything like this. Every tackle that was made – every catch that was made, every run, every sack, every other play that I watched on television was made by a transfer. It's just
it's unbelievable.
It's insane. I don't know how you do it.
I don't even know how to define teams. I have no idea how to define the team first month of the season. Barry Odom's got 82 new players out of 105 at Purdue. How am I supposed to know how to define that
Purdue.
Team?
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
Yep, West Virginia. I mean,
17 returning players. That's it.
Uh-huh. He told me when he had his first team meeting, when he took the job in December, he had 38 kids in the room. And they got 82 of 105 new. That's counting the incoming class and all the transfers. Just total insanity.
Wow. That is crazy. right, so you're going to two games this week. That's neat. That is neat. The first one is the 11 o'clock game on Fox, and then the second one, the night game. Michigan, two powerhouse programs that nobody really feels good about this year. We'll see what, like you said, Underwood versus Mateer. That could be. And Mateer, is all those problems gone away? Is everything? Has anything happened with that?
Looks like we're good, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. It was a story. It was a story for a day, and then it just went away.
Hey, it's just, what are you going to do? It's just Venmo notes. What are you going to do there? By the way, that same Captain Chompers, the LSU fan who went after you, he came after me and said the nastiest things because, and this one hurts. It was early in the year in 2019. And I had already watched Joe Burrow the year before. Didn't really like him on tape that much the year before. It was early on. He was like 2-0, 3-0. And Captain Chomper's like, he's a first rounder. And then I'm like, what? No, he's not a first rounder. He's not a first round quarterback at all. Then when he ended up being right, which hurt my heart, by the way. But I do love Joe Burrow. He's a great player. But it hurt my heart that he was right. He came back and said the nastiest, most personal stuff to me. And I was like, I think I'm done with this guy forever. LSU fans are just, John, you're married to one. They are a rambunctious group. Sometimes some of them are nasty.
No.
Let me tell you this, Lance. Let me tell you this now. I picked LSU to win the title in 2019. That was before everyone knew, what they had. Everyone was picking Bama. So I was ahead of the curve on LSU that year. I have been on the right and wrong side of LSU, folks. I don't care how personal they get with me, including our boy there, whatever his name is. I would never change that because it's what makes that fan base what it is. Like, I love the LSU fan base. Ironically, even when they're hating on me, I love the LSU fan base because there's not a place that I'd rather go on planet Earth for a game, a home game, than an LSU home game. So I will argue. I'll spar back and forth. I will never cast aspersions broadly against those people.
Well, Josh, I'm one of them. I'm married into it. My daughter went there. I've been to I don't know how many games at Tiger Stadium. It can be the best fan base, and it can be the worst. I'm standing next to a guy who at the LSU comes in at half. The players are going into the locker room, and he throws his whiskey bottle at the team as it's going into the locker room at halftime because they didn't score in the first half. And the guy that's standing next to me is my father-in-law. He's the one that's throwing a whiskey bottle at him.
Okay? Wow.
So I know this fan base, and Captain Chompers is just another that he's just.
Oh, he's another one of those idiots.
That's what you get. That's what you get with these people.
There's nothing you can do. By the way, before we let you go, because our guy Dell there is a big Miami fan, is Carson Beck officially back?
Yeah, I don't think he was ever gone. Like, I thought that was way overblown, the whole questioning of Carson Beck. And all the feedback I got from Miami was that he's fine. Like, if you want to question other things, that's what you should be questioning. Like, he's given us everything we wanted in practice every day and then some. It was the secondary that I was looking at because they kept saying, hey, watch out for our secondary because it's entirely overhauled with guys from the portal. They were terrible last year. They got a new coordinator. One game sample size. Miami secondary, because I got very few questions about Beck. If their secondary is what it looked like it was, Miami's a much different team to be taken more seriously because of that. Again, 1 week, a caution every time this week at this time of year. But yeah, Miami, that whole ACC picture after what we saw from Clemson and Florida State is totally up in the air.
Quickly before you go, who's going to be the best quarterback on the field, South Florida and Florida, Byron Brown or DJ Lagway?
It'll be Lagway, but I respect where you're going with the question, but I got to go Lagway on that one.
Byron Brown, by the way, you picked that. That was your upset last week on this show, and you said South Florida over Boise. They ain't Boise, I know everybody's got Boise. You picked that one as well. So suck on that, Captain Chompers, okay? Eat that, Captain Chompers, because Josh Pate was right. And
I don't even know Chomper's real name anymore.
I don't either.
Chomper.
You never do. They never use their real name. Get used to it.
Josh Pate. Josh Pate College Football Show on YouTube. Josh Pate on ESPN 97.5 is brought to you by Walmart. The Walmart you thought you knew is now new. Who knew? Walmart. Josh, we appreciate it, man. We will talk to you again next week.
I appreciate it, guys.
All right. I'm talking Golden Nugget right now. It's where you can get your bet down at Golden Nugget.
All right? You want to go watch college football? I don't know that there's a better place. Just 2 hours and 15 minutes down the road. The DraftKings Sportsbook is as good as it gets. You've got college and pros now. You get a hotel room there. You got the casino when there's no football. Wait, oh, that's right. There's not. There's always going to be football going on this weekend. So you don't even have to take a break from football. But if you want to take a break, you got the casino right there. You got all the restaurants right there. You got the Blue Martini. You've got the poker room. You got the golf course. What? You got the swimming pool, which is it's awesome. I mean, everything you could possibly want. Just 2 hours and 15 minutes on the road. You don't have to go all the way to Vegas. You've got it right here at Golden Nugget Lake Charles. I love it. We love it. We were there last week. Couldn't have been a better time. GoldenNuggetLC.com. Make your reservations for the DraftKings Sportsbook. GoldenNuggetLC.com.
ESPN 97.5.
It's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Texas Card House.
All right, welcome back here. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 live at Texas Card House. Where if you get over here and play between now and noon, you get a chance to win a couple of Astros tickets for tonight's game, club seats, just by playing. That's all. And they do kind of this kind of stuff all the time. What a great it is! A great place. They got a game going right now. Nice little game. If you're looking to get in, if you're in the neighborhood, Spring Cypress at 45, or even if you're not in the neighborhood, it's a great place to come and see. Beautiful facility. We appreciate them. We are here, and John is John Chill on? John Chill from the Golden Nugget. Lake Charles is with us where we were last week, having a great time, picking up a little cash on some nice bets. What, John, welcome back. What was the handle, and what was the week like for you guys at the DraftKings Sportsbook in week one?
Yeah, it was a pretty solid week. Definitely was a dog week for the marquee games. You know, we had the big one with Texas. We had a lot of Texas money there, and then but yeah, it was definitely dogs and unders. Definitely seeing a trend there. You know, the unders hitting in the first week, so we had people more overs. People didn't take advantage of the trends, but yeah, the book did really good last week. LSU kind of hurt us a little bit, but that's just I think because of the local regionality. But still had a lot of Clemson money, so it was definitely. Definitely a good week for the books, and it was crazy. First half unders was over 75% in college football last week. That was crazy. And then I think unders in total was close to 70. So definitely saw those trends there as far as the book. The unders were
well, that's good. Just, you know, that's just common sense, though, I think.
Yep.
You know, you got all these teams with all these new players.
Yep.
And new coordinate, you know, they're all learning. In the first week, the defense is going to be ahead of the offense. So you think that continues, or are we going to start seeing a little bit, more cohesion offensively from these teams?
Yeah, as far as the betting and the trends, we're seeing a lot of handle. Rick Specht, I mean, as far as a betting standpoint, people are betting the bounce backs. You got Clemson versus Troy this week at minus 33.5, and 86% of the money's on Clemson. You got Texas San Jose State minus 36.5, and 89% of the handle's on Texas. So a lot of people are expecting bounce backs from those teams. And then the big lines, you're seeing 88% on Penn State, and they're minus 41.5 on FIU. And then Nebraska's getting about 80% of the money right now, 33.5. So I think people are expecting the offenses to get better this week, you know, than they were last week, and you're seeing that. People are betting these big lines right now, and the handle's way up on these large lines against these teams. So definitely be interesting to see what happens this week. And kind of one of my picks is West Virginia minus 3.5. I think, you know, I'm going with that trend too. I think the offense will get better this week versus Ohio. Ohio's defense, I think, gave up 34 points last week, so kind of like West Virginia in that role too. But, yeah, you're definitely seeing, I think, people thinking the offense is going to get better and these, you know, they're taking advantage of these bigger lines. So it'll be interesting to see. No big marquee matchups this week compared to last week, but as far as the betting standpoint, you definitely see them betting favorites more this year or this week, and thinking that, you know, the offense is going to improve to what week one was. So it'll be interesting. You know, we got, you know, we'll see what happens Saturday. And then we got, you know, finally football is here. We got the NFL, you know, as far as, you know, it starts today. You got, you know, college Saturday and the NFL. We got the game tonight. Interesting on the NFL, what's shocking is a lot of teaser plays on Philly more. I shouldn't say more, but a lot of teaser plays with Denver. Usually see teasers start about week three or four, but we've seen more teaser bets in week one than we have in recent years. So that's an interesting what we're seeing there. But tonight's game will be interesting.
People love teasers. You get the six. I mean, it's just but they're such sucker bets. Sucker bets. I mean, I know you guys love to see teasers and parlays.
We like the parlays and the teasers. You know, they look enticing. I mean, you get, you know, Philly went from 7 to 8.5. You know, you get them down to 2.5. That's less than the field goal. You know, and it's just so enticing, the teasers. But
what's the handle like? What's the handle like on that game tonight?
It's you know, it was trending about 70% Philly, but when the line's been moving to 8.5, we're starting to see closer 60-40 for that game tonight. So I think people, you know, 8.5 starting to become a little bit bigger number. So you're starting to see a little Dallas money coming in out of that move up to 8.5. So we're seeing there some of the big handles. We saw one that's shocking to me: 76% on the Lions versus the Packers. You know, and the Lions are getting 2.5, but I thought that'd be more of a split, less on Detroit, especially at Green Bay is a big one. The Ravens, their lines moved. They were actually a dog at 1.5. Now they're a favorite at 1.5, and 80% of the money's on there. Bengals and Arizona are the big plays this week as well. So
wait a minute. Oh, people are all over the of course, they're playing the Browns.
Yeah,
so,
-5.5. Yeah.
And the Cardinals are playing the Saints. So that makes sense because the Saints suck and they got Spencer Rattler. They might surprise a little bit. Though that's at home. What's that line right now?
Which one?
The Saints.
The Saints, 6.5. Yep.
Wow. 6.5 at
six
home?
And a half.
Jeez. That's something.
Yeah, that's at 82%. People are loving the Cardinals this year. I don't see it, but, you know, I kind of like the Cincy. I think, you know, the recent years are in their slow starts. It looks like they're making a concerted effort to get out of the gate a lot quicker than they have in recent years. So I could see Cincy putting up some points. Defense will be the key for them, but they're playing Cleveland. I kind of like Cincy on that one.
Any interesting trend? What is South Florida and Florida? South Florida looked really, really good last week. And now they go to Florida, and they're catching 17.5. That seems like a big number for a team that played as well as they did last week.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny, you're seeing about 65% on South Florida.
Really?
Yeah, which is shocking. Yep.
Well, that's an educated fan base there. Give me 17.5 with a quarterback that can play the way he can. Of course, it's Florida versus South Florida, so we'll see.
There.
Yeah, that is that's interesting. Houston, anything else? Any other trends you're seeing?
For local, Houston's, it's funny, more money's on Rice than Houston. I kind of like Houston in that one, but, there seems that's the play. LSU's, of course, getting a lot of attention. They're about 70%. You're seeing that trend. Oh, and the other one's Nebraska. I kind of like Nebraska this week. I think, you know, they didn't cover last week, but they look sharp, but yeah, definitely. I think the big trend is a lot of money's going on these big favorites this week. So,
so people are giving the points. People are giving big numbers out this week.
Yep,
after, especially teams that struggled like Clemson and Texas.
Yep.
Yeah, I can see it. Absolutely bounce back week. Wait, you got any money on A&M and Utah State? That's a big number.
77% on A&M right now. Yeah, 31.5. So Yeah, no, that's a trend. You know, big numbers, people are betting them, you know, and which is interesting. I would, you know, I'd wait till week two. But, yeah, you're definitely seeing, hopefully, you know, the offense start catching up to the defenses here and all that. Another one was, and this is another one, Illinois is at 90% versus Duke, minus three. Another play. But
that's crazy, 90%.
Yeah, it's, I'll be honest, I've never seen for this much separation and handle. You know, usually you see a couple games, you know, everybody, you know, laying on. But, yeah, you're not seeing a lot of 50-50 splits. A lot of people are playing one way on a lot of these games.
You got any Oregon, Oklahoma State money?
We do. That's another one. Everybody's betting Oregon at minus 28.5. We got about 88% of the handle there as well. So it's,
I think,
definitely
Cam Lanning's going to want to put it on them too.
Yep.
He's going to want to put it on them. Yep.
We'll definitely be rooting for dogs this week as far as the sports book.
I guess you will. That is John Schill every week right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. Get on over there, as we told you, just two hours and 15 minutes down the road. Can I still get in if I want to get into the to the DraftKings Sportsbook and watch games this weekend?
Yeah, we got a couple spots open. You know, Sunday's filling up, but yeah, Saturday's open. But yeah, get your reservations. We're ready to go. We're getting ready for, you know, the whole weekend now and all that. But yeah, definitely there's some seats available Sunday and Saturday as well. So
awesome. It's the best place to go. I'm telling you, love it, love it, love it. John, as always, man, we appreciate it, and we will talk to you again next week.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, guys. We'll see you.
There is John Schill joining us every week right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Lance, any thoughts on all these big favorites in week two? I mean, everybody seems to be jumping all over them, and, you know, whenever they jump all over, I mean, that's a public play because they're bigger names against smaller teams, against lesser opponents. But sometimes they come up and bite you. Did Lance leave us?
No, I'm right here. But here's the thing, though, John. I know you always say that, but remember the ass kicking that the books have taken 2 years in a row because the favorites are all winning?
Yep.
Like the public has killed.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know what? But all of these casinos weren't built on a bunch of winners. And people loved the favorites. And for years and years and years, the favorites were killing the bettors.
I don't know. There will be a reversal.
At some point, it comes back where.
Yeah, it'll come back.
And especially in this era of. I mean, there's a lot more parity in college football than there ever has been.
I mean, yeah, there is. There is. And I think the portal, it's a weird kind of parity. It's a weird kind of parity where, yeah, I think it's true that fewer and fewer teams have a chance to really legitimately compete for a national championship. But that's probably inaccurate because I think Dell pointed out, I mean, there was only a certain amount that were ever competing before. And now it's opened up to 12. But I think a lot of those 12 teams are just fluff. You're just in there to, you know, fill up the games and make money with another TV game. I think there's only going to be, in any given year, or at least the hammers, the blue chip hammers, it's going to be, did you see where Alabama, it was A.J. McCarron said he knew for a fact that Alabama only had $20 million in their NIL, where other programs have $60 million. And Alabama is way below everyone else. And this is kind of what I was talking about, is Alabama and Georgia does not have the money people think they do. I mean, they have money from being SEC teams and winning at a high level, but they don't have a natural, you know, you took them out of the SEC and you put them in a different conference, it's a way different story financially for them. So I don't know. I just think the parent, because of the portal, it's making it harder to see Florida State coming. You know what I mean? Like Florida State's year they had last year, usually that means, well, get ready because they're going to have a down year for 2-3 years because they had a bad recruiting year. You have a bad recruiting year now, and it's nothing. Who cares? How'd you do in the portal? FSU looked awful last year, looked truly dreadful. They were great the year before, dreadful last year. And they came out and looked good again this year. You know how they do it? Tighten it up, Boston College quarterback, Alabama running back, get some help on the offensive line, no problem. We're back to being where we wanted to. I mean, this free agency, this everlasting, forever free agency that we have in college football now is, I don't think it's great for the game, and I don't think it's great for the universities, but what it does do is you are never necessarily down for too long if you can bring the right players in. It can change like that. Mm-hmm. And I saw it with Everton, John, with Jack Grealish coming
Everton.
In. It's really made a big difference with Grealish there, and Dell knows that.
No, Dell doesn't. He just gave you thumbs down.
Grealish has four assists. He knows.
The Everton thing is ridiculous to bring up on the show.
Well, we're like top six right now.
No one cares.
No one cares about Everton.
We all know they're not going to be a top six club.
I like Everton, but I'm saying it so that people can have something to relate to Florida State. Like,
they're not.
You see
Florida
what happened
State.
With Everton. A lot of y'all have been watching what's happening with Everton and some of the transfers they've made. It's the same thing with Florida State.
Everton's Vanderbilt.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, worse. Vanderbilt's 10-2 and in the playoff this year.
Well, yeah, what are you talking about? I hope we're Vanderbilt.
No, the Vanderbilt of reality, not the Vanderbilt of Keith's delusion. You're Vanderbilt.
Yeah,
it's fine.
The reality is Vanderbilt, you know, every once in a while we'll beat a good team too, like Vanderbilt did last year. And was it even a good team last year that they beat in Alabama?
Not really.
By the end of the year, that win didn't mean quite as much.
Yeah, Alabama got smacked by a bad Oklahoma team. And Keith did talk to AJ earlier just to send me a message. He didn't want to get on the air, but he just wanted to talk about how Vanderbilt's going to beat Alabama. All right, Keith. Got it. We understand. You think they're going to be good. I don't know how many more times
you can say it. This is all he can live for. Now, our caller, And you have no idea how many tweets we get where we're tagged on some Alabama, some
Every
Vanderbilt.
Time Vanderbilt is mentioned.
Vanderbilt. Oh, look, here's our new end zone. We've completed our end zone renovation. 10-2. Like, what? We don't need to see their end zone renovation, Keith.
Well, here's something, Vanderbilt.
Now I got to prey on Vanderbilt's downfall the whole
time. Yeah, I don't want to do
that. That doesn't feel right.
Yeah, the Pavia brothers are lovable characters. Yeah. Now I got to pray that they lose.
But
here's
I'm
Vanderbilt.
Going to be praying on their downfall now because of you, Keith. Are you happy?
And here's some Vanderbilt. It's not really about Vanderbilt, but at least this guy played there. Jay Cutler getting sued for that car crash that he was involved in when he was under the influence. So, Keith, I mean,
how long ago was
it's
that?
Not back in 2024. So it's not all sunshine and puppy dogs for Vanderbilt. Your greatest player ever. In a bit
he
of
didn't
trouble.
Care back then. He didn't watch him back then.
Of course
care.
Not. He didn't care.
No, he didn't. No, he didn't care about that. All right. We'll break in. We got news of the weird. We're at Texas Card House. They got a couple of tables going already.
You ready to go
this
John?
Morning? If you get here before noon, you could be. You'll be in the hopper. Your name will be in the hopper. Yeah, I'm ready to go.
You're less than 15
minutes
away from being
out of
table. Can I
take off now and go over to the table?
No.
I mean,
you've got to say some inappropriate news of the weird stories.
Well, I do, but first I got to talk about Texas Card House, where we are right now, where we're getting our poker on this morning. They got a couple of tables going right here, and if you come in before noon today, you got a chance to win a couple of tickets, club seats to the Astros game tonight, just by playing. They do that kind of stuff all the time. But here's the deal, is either location, both locations, just beautiful. They've got guarantees on... I mean, you. How about a $25 guarantee for a $1,500 pot or more every day, Monday through Thursday? They got it's going on. Just $25 to enter into the tournament. It's awesome. You're looking for a great way to play, even if you're not a great player. You're just learning the game. Great way to learn, especially at a $25 tournament. I mean, that's just great. $40 buy-ins for 10,000 guaranteed on Saturdays. Ridiculous. This, they got the big $100,000 guarantee at on Green Ridge and Westheimer. That's going to be the 17th of this month. Meanwhile, here on that same day, a $40,000 guarantee at PLO game. I mean, it's just incredible. It's the best card house you're going to find in the city of Houston. I love it. I love it. You will love it, too. If you play poker, you need to get to Texas Card House. Go to TexasCardHouse.com, TexasCardHouse.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Time now for News of the Weird.
People are weird.
With John and Lance.
That's real weird.
All right, welcome back. Texas Card House, man, it's loud. John and Lance here with you. Our final segment of the morning. Dell's going to continue to be here. I'll be screaming across the poker room for Dell to come and join us.
Feels unnecessary.
To play poker with
just
us.
Just ignore me and play poker. You don't have to yell.
No, I'm going to have to do that. I'm probably going to have a few Coors Lights.
Great.
Sam is here, and she's going to probably start drinking with me this morning here. All right, we'll be throwing down some Coors Lights.
I think the operative word, are this morning. It's not even 10 o'clock.
Not even 10 o'clock. It's a great time.
Seems less likely than Dell.
What do I always tell you? Can't be drunk all day unless you start in the
morning. I don't know how many people are looking to be drunk all day.
Well, then those people, I don't want to be with those people.
And they don't want to be with you.
All right, Sam and I are going to be drinking all day. All right, that's what we're going
to
do.
Sam's here to do her job.
Yeah.
Your job is done. You can go do all the drinking you want.
Apparently, there was a burglary suspect in Florida, and a Florida man wearing Batman pajamas helped stop a burglary suspect in his neighborhood. Do you have Batman pajamas? And if you did, would you feel like you should stop a burglary suspect?
Well, as one of the only people on this show who's ever stopped a burgling suspect.
That's not
that
true.
That never happened.
Did not wear Batman pajamas, but I did have some Adidas shoes on, which they probably don't want me talking about since I ended up getting Liz Frank when I got injured chasing that purse snatcher.
You got Liz Frank from stepping up on a curb.
Dell, do you have Superman or Batman or Aquaman? What pajamas
Thor.
Do you wear?
I don't wear pajamas.
Don't you? You don't like DC, right? You like Marvel.
I don't wear pajamas. It's a T-shirt and shorts. That's what I wear to go to bed. I don't wear pajamas.
You don't wear pajamas?
No.
But if you could, which one would you want?
No, I can. It's not because I'm being banned from wearing them.
Well, he'd wear Ben the thing.
If you were
but if you're asking
if,
me.
If a guy had a gun to your head, you'd have to wear superhero pajamas.
How about, you change your mind and you actually want to wear pajamas? I don't know why there's a gun to the head about pajamas.
Because you wouldn't do it unless there was a
gun
to your
head. I'm not interested in it, but if I wore pajamas, it would obviously be Spider-Man pajamas.
Oh, that's right. What about Spidey Pig?
Spider-Pig? Nope, and not Peter Parker Spider-Man. Miles Morales Spider-Man.
Okay, that's your favorite Spider-Man?
Black Panther, Wakanda pants. Look, Wakanda underwear.
Could you explain to me why I want to wear Wakanda underwear?
Because why you do you think? Like vibranium.
No. So I like a fictional metal. That's why I want to wear. Okay. No, that's not the reason.
That's not it.
No.
A mother is planning to file a lawsuit and press charges after a teacher body slams a West Side high school student while playing musical chairs. And I feel like, listen, if you're playing musical chairs, you got to worry about being body slammed. That's on you.
Sure, that's a fine story, but let's point out that Lance can never call anyone a nerd again. The fact that he knew a fictional medal from a Marvel movie.
I know. I never watched the movie, but for some reason I know vibranium. I don't know how I know that.
You're out. No longer can you call anyone
else a nerd. I can't remember the names of players, but I remember vibranium.
Because you're a giant nerd.
Right.
That's all. As far as body slamming, I don't know if that's the appropriate.
It wasn't body slammed.
If you're playing musical chairs, you get body slammed.
You didn't get body slammed. Somebody just body checked him and they called it, oh, God, body slammed.
No. I'm looking at the picture of it. He actually body slammed him.
Picked him up and Wahoo McDaniel him?
Well, boom.
Took him over and Hacksaw dug in him?
On the ground. That's right. But if you're playing musical Roman chairs, you deserve it. That's part of the game.
I don't know that you should be playing that as an adult anyway. Aren't there better things you can do?
Well, we're having a little fun. That's all.
Was it fun for the person who got body slammed?
Not for the guy that got body slammed. No, the other
guy.
You cannot win musical chairs unless you're a huge alpha.
Yeah, no.
That's just the way it goes because alpha cheat. Yeah.
Yeah.
They cheat their heels. You ever see a basketball game whenever they play that at an NBA game?
Yeah.
It's always somebody getting a chair yanked out of them and falling down and everyone booing because some dude with a hat on, some bro, just knocked some girl down for the chair.
Yeah. No. How about this? Finally, a man accused of plotting to assassinate President Trump filed a bonkers motion challenging him to a round of golf for the presidency. Do you feel like if this guy could beat the president at golf that he should be president?
A trial by combat for the presidency?
Yeah. Yes. A trial by golf combat.
Yeah,
we live in that world. Absolutely.
Why not?
I don't know. That's a good way to decide who our president should be.
Trump
who's the best golfer?
Trump talks a lot of trash about his golf game, so come on then.
Should Scottie Scheffler be the president of the United States?
I mean, I guess
well,
so.
he's going to have to get some cleanup done. You know how he ran over a police officer.
Listen.
That's not
right? Doesn't he have to explain that away first?
It's okay to have.
He can't be the president.
It's okay to have charges against you now as a president.
Sure, but you can't.
I don't know if you heard.
I'm aware. But you can't be the president
well,
of law and order
he's got
if
back,
your charge
he's got back
is running
the blue.
Over an officer.
Yeah, he's
yeah,
got
back the
blue.
Blue if you're the president. Yeah. You can't have that charge on your resume.
Well, it was that guy, and I think it was proven. That guy really was the
so you're gonna blame the you're gonna blame
you're gonna blame the
guy?
Officer.
Yeah,
okay.
I saw the video of it. I mean, like Scotty Scheffler was just
strategy.
Minding his own business.
His pants were ripped.
Okay, minding his own business. I'm gonna start a GoFundMe page for Scotty Scheffler.
You think he needs money?
Yeah, because people keep
Scottie
accusing
Scheffler.
Him. Yeah,
he's probably
for his
like
legal
$29
defense
million this
fund.
Year.
You think he needs a GoFundMe for a defense fund?
He made more than that.
Yeah, more than
$29 million this year.
Has he really?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I mean, his last couple of tournaments that he won, the last couple of tournaments he probably won over 20 or in that neighborhood. Plus,
that much?
Yeah, he's.
What's the overhead for
cashing in
for a professional golfer? Like, I know you got to pay your caddy, maybe a swing coach. What's the actual outgoing expenses for a golfer per year of his caliber?
Oh,
trying to feel
lot.
Like what he's taking in.
A
he's
lot.
Earned.
He's got,
earned $26 million. See, I'm good at this game. He's earned $26,579,550 this year.
This year, listen, he has made more. He's made a lot more than that. First of all,
no,
endorsements
yeah. Oh yeah, sure. I'm just talking about.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, I'm talking about the whole deal, which is way
who's
more.
Second.
That's
who's
all he has to do is make an appearance, and he's
who's
getting,
second to Scotty Scheffler in purse and earnings this year.
This year, second to Scotty is Tommy Fleetwood.
There you go, Mr. Top 5.
Is he in the top 5?
Yeah. Well, he's in the top 5 of everything.
Yeah. Well, he is. He just
Scheffler,
won.
$26 million. But what does he endorse? Does he have a bunch of endorsements? I don't see, like,
endorsements or appearances
McDonald's.
Or
McDonald's. I don't see him ever doing a McDonald's. I saw Angel Reese do McDonald's.
I don't see him on
State Farm. I saw
Kelly
doing State Farm.
Well, he's got deals with Titleist and Nike.
Yeah, those don't count.
Veritex, a company we love, Veritex Community Bank. Yeah, he's got his stuff.
Don't worry about Scotty's money.
Don't worry. I know you're concerned.
No.
But don't worry about
Scotty's
it.
Don't worry.
All right.
I was going to kick into John's GoFundMe for Scotty. Trust me.
We're done. Texas Card House, thanks for having us. We appreciate it. Dell is going to be here for the next couple of hours still. Come on by, hang out with us if you want. And we got a couple of tables going.
Bring us food. Daniel brought us food.
You already had some.
Daniel's the
best. You
already
had food, Dell.
We haven't eaten it yet, but
we got food.
I'm trying to create my perfect lunch. Yeah. I got tacos. You want to bring me French fries? We'll do that. Bring me a shake. Bring it all.
This isn't an order. This isn't a Grubhub order.
Why not?
It's a radio show.
You got a problem, Beck? Ask
me
of all people.
Like that. I would never
of all
do
people
like that.
To try to stifle food.
Hey, what are we doing?
Yeah. We don't do that.
We'd never do something like that.
What we would do is we would go to Underdog Fantasy and start playing.
Yeah, Underdog Fantasy. So I was looking at Texan stuff already. You know, you can go to an individual game. Maybe there's a game that you feel like you got a good handle on. Like, I really know this game exceptionally well. So I went over, I'm looking at Underdog Fantasy, and I went to the Texans and Rams. And right now what's available is you've got, a touchdown for Puka Nacua, 0.5. So basically, will he score a touchdown? If you say higher, it's 1.09. multiplier, so it's a little bit more than just average. Nico Collins is at 77.5 yards. I kind of like that one lower for Nico Collins. CJ Stroud, 228.5 yards passing. I'll pass on that. Nick Chubb, 42.5 yards rushing. I think I like that a little bit lower as well. You know, you go through these stats and you kind of figure out how the game's going to go, and then you go higher or lower on the statistics. And the more games you pick, picks that you pick, the higher you're going to win. But if you don't want to win them all, you say, look, I want to do 5, but I want to get paid even if I only win 4. That's great. Use the flex option. They have flex options, which is basically insurance, to where you don't have to win every single pick and you can still win money. The payout's a little bit lower, but you can still win even if you lose one. So there's so many different ways to win with Underdog Fantasy, including streaks and ladders. Ladders is brand new this year. They're always coming up with different ways to give you money. How nice is Underdog Fantasy? Just finding ways to give you money. And here's another way. Download the app and use promo code Lance on your first download, and you're going to get $50 in bonus cash when you make your first $5 play. That's all you have to do for $50 in bonus cash. It's Underdog Fantasy. You must be 18 or older and present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms and conditions apply. If you feel like you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or go to ncpgambling.org.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Oh, the car from Carvana is here. Well, will you look at that? It's exactly what I ordered, like, precisely. It would be crazy if there were any catches, but there aren't, right?
Right, because that's how car buying should be. With Carvana, you get the car you want. Choose delivery or pickup, and a week to love it or return it.
Buy your car today with
Carvana.
Delivery or pickup fees may apply. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.